This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 4, Episode 44, Sprint Drills for Fast Bowlers. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we don our geek glasses and talk about phones, tablets and laptops for coaches and players. We look at sprint drills for fast bowlers and we ask, how long does it take to come back after an accident or an injury? All that and more coming up on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. It's time for the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. I am David Hinchliffe. I am looking after things here at Pitch Vision Academy. And as always, alongside me on the line, joining me on the line, is the Director of Cricket Coaching at Millfield School, a man with a prestigious reputation. It's Mark Garraway. Welcome, Garras.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what that reputation's about there, David. I hope it's about coaching, but you can never tell.
Well, I didn't like to say, you know, I like to keep that ambiguous. So we're recording this very early in the morning this time. It's normally a lovely mid-morning show where we can enjoy a drink and a chat. But today it's very early in the morning. Garras, you've got a busy day ahead of you.
Yeah, I have. I'm delivering on the level three, ECB level three. We're doing the fielding today. So I've got that from 10 till 1. Then it's straight in the car down the M1 to Heathrow, where I join up with Chris Adams, Ian Salisbury, Ian Brunchweiler, and we fly over to Zurich, and we're going to go then get on a train and go down to another place whose name I can't pronounce, and then we're going to spend 3 days there. We're on a course which is about action types, which is very exciting. So it's about personality profiling through the way that we move, and then the impact that that has on our technique, whether we're playing cricket, playing football, doing basketball, or whatever the case may be. So yeah, exciting day, lots of travel. So it's trains, planes and automobiles for me today.
So this is cutting edge stuff. This is new ideas. This is a new paradigm almost in the way that we look at the way people develop their skills in an individual way. And it's something that you've been talking about for a long time on this show.
Yeah.
I think you'll probably come away from this with more ideas than you will going into it. But where are you with this area at the moment, where if there's a coach who's coaching his club under 11s, or there's a chap in India who's listening to this and he's going out onto one of the maidens with a group of 30 14 year olds in half an hour, what difference could this kind of idea make to him?
Well, the difference is it encourages you to watch and notice things and listen to things better than you would do normally. And you know that I always go on about that because there are differences. You know, you've only got to watch a game of cricket or watch any game of sport. Tennis is a classic where you've got two guys at the opposite ends of a court where often they're doing very different things in the way that they're hitting their forehands, the way that their body moves in preparation for a backhand is very different. And yet if we coach them in exactly the same way all of the time, we're likely to hit the high point with one particular player but miss out on so many others. And I think we can all, from our coaching experience, recall coaching people who do things slightly differently that have been very successful within our own environments and maybe even in higher ones, rather than what the textbook or the coaching manual has suggested that we do with them. So what it does is it encourages me, and hopefully although they're not going to be on the course, but I would hope that coaches will stand back and really watch before they jump in and intervene. Stand back and really listen to what the player is talking about before they jump in and intervene. And my experience is the best coaches in the world are the ones that do that.
I think Steph Jones summed it up quite well the other day on a post that I read from him. Steph Jones, of course, a friend of the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, doing good work at Wellington School and does a lot of work with fast bowlers and improving their strength and conditioning and doing technical work with them. And he says you have to know the difference between a flaw and an idiosyncrasy.
I think that's a really good point. And what we're getting a bit of an idea on from working with these guys is those idiosyncrasies actually go not just from individual to individual, but from group to group. And they've recognised that there are four main groups of movement profile. And if we can coach each of the people within those four main different ways of doing it, then we're going to be hitting their high spots a bit more and certainly talking in a language that they'll understand and asking them to move in a way that feels very natural to them. So I completely agree with Steph's view, and actually I think that's a nice little tagline that he's come up with there.
Now let's move on to another area which is close to my heart, alongside cricket and coaching cricket, which is technology. I think we're living in a time now, Gareth, where technology has not only become incredibly available to people, but the choice now is so vast, and with such small differences between different types of technology, it's becoming intimidating to people almost, I would say. That, you know, you look at the difference, say, I mean, I've been looking at getting myself a new laptop, and I've been looking at the Apple MacBook Air and been comparing it to the Apple MacBook Pro, the entry-level MacBook Pro compared to the top entry-level MacBook Air. And the differences are literally millimetres and grams in weight.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I love technology. I love looking at technology, finding out about technology and spending hours and hours just poring over the tiny little differences. But to somebody who just wants a tool, and an efficient tool, it must be incredibly intimidating. What are your thoughts on this vast range of technologies that are available to people now, and where can they sort of get a foothold on to start on that ladder if technology is an area that they want to move into?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible area, isn't it? Because as soon as somebody comes out with a bit of kit, you know, a week or two later, it's been usurped by something else. So I think what you've got to do is really work out, why do you want the technology? What do you want to do with it? I would always go for a computer that's got enough storage that you can put video on it, because video takes up quite a lot of storage. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I would consider doing is getting a couple of applications such as a Numbers or a Microsoft Excel, because we can do lots of statistical work on spreadsheets. I think that's a really good one. I would get PowerPoint, because you can then, or a Keynote for the Apple-based devices, which allow you to then import the video that you're putting in, put some words over the top, and then send that to players, which is a really good communication tool. And the players love seeing themselves play, which is fantastic. And the other thing that I'd do if I was just getting a laptop or a MacBook, I'd get an external hard drive, because, as I said, the video footage takes up a heck of a lot of space onto your normal hard drive. So I would keep as much of my video, or transfer as much of my video onto the external hard drive. So you've always got it. You can carry them around with you, because they're very, very small now. They're all plug-in through USB, so you don't have to worry about power. And away you go. And that would be your basic package, really. And then for your iPad, you're looking at getting some good apps on there. And there's lots of apps, ranging from scoring apps that we talked about last week on this show, through to Coach's Eye, through to UberSense, which are the technical analysis. Fantastic stuff. There's a thing called Coach Plan, which is a series of sports fields that allows you to put in formations, or allows you to put in field placings, which again is really, really powerful. So gone are the days where you have a net where you go, I've got a backward square, I've got a deep point, this, that and the other. You can actually put it onto the iPad and you can have a proper assessment.
There's also a question mark around whether you get a laptop or whether you get an iPad, because for a lot of people, that's the choice is not which laptop shall I get and then which iPad shall I get. For a lot of people, the choice is which computer shall I get. As a coach, from a coaching standpoint, if that was your, if you had a budget, you know, a limited budget, you could really only buy one device, which way would you go?
I'd go iPad, I think, just because of the portability of it, really. And you can do in one piece of kit everything that you need. The only downside to just having an iPad is that it's really difficult to get close enough with the camera to view batters. I generally use a camera, it's a little Casio camera, and wouldn't be one of the ones that a top photographer would use by any stretch of imagination. But it's got a fantastic facility for super slow video. So it goes up to 1,000 frames per second if you want to. But I work off a lot off of 240 frames a second. That gives me enough detail. So I can zoom into a batter from the back of a ball and really watch their movement, slow it down to the absolute nth degree, and then get a lot of information back from that. So if you can find an iPad secondhand, or some of the mobile phone houses do them, or whatever the case may be. That will work for your catching, for your fielding practice, for your bowling practices really well. Then have a look on Amazon, which is the place where I get all my cameras from, for Casio cameras. So they're called Casio Exilim, and they have there's a huge range of them. And they're just a little compact camera. They're not a professional camera by any stretch, but it's the one that most coaches now use to get their high speed stuff because it's so economical. And as I said, I looked at one yesterday because a friend of mine was looking to buy one, and I think it was £158. So that would be my combination, which covers all of my bases, and we could do that for sort of sub 450, and that covers every base.
And you can do a lot. Perhaps you have even less of a budget. You can do a lot if you're a player, say, a young player. You might not have any budget at all for iPads and laptops. You might just have, you might just be able to talk your mum and dad into getting you a phone, and that you can because of the iPhone now and equivalent Android devices, you can do a lot with your phone as well, can't you?
Yeah, you can. And again, these apps I talk about, coaches, because for a player, you probably want a technical analysis bit of kit. And Coach's Eye and UberSense are the two that I've used the most of. I think there's Cricket Coach HD. They all do exactly the same thing. They're a couple of quid, I think, on the in the App Store, and it allows you to draw lines, to annotate, to talk over the top. So you would just film off of your camera exactly what you're looking at, as if you were filming anything, as we do in everyday life nowadays. Then we would import that into our application, which is as simple as pressing a button. And then we've got all of this functionality that we used to have to, in the coaching world, spend £5,000 getting that bit of application, that software where we could draw lines and measure angles and talk over the top and all of that. You can now get that for a couple of quid. So if you can imagine yourself being a batter, you want to get film from the side, because we rarely get film from the side. You get your mate to stand at the side. He takes four or five balls if you're playing a half volley or playing a back foot shot or whatever the case may be. And then you can come out of a net, you can compare one against the other, you can overlay them, you can draw lines on them and do everything all of us professionals are doing. And that's really exciting, I think, for the development of technique.
Yeah, precisely. So, you know, that's and I think I mean I've not seen it in action, but I've noticed that the new newer Samsung phones, the Galaxy Note 3 and I think the S4 have a mode in their camera called golf swing mode. Now that would be
That's right.
interesting to see what that I don't I've not seen that. Have you seen that, Garrison?
No, I haven't. Again, as you, I've only heard about it. But that would be worth having an experiment with. And if anybody has got one who listens to the show, then it would be fantastic for you to feedback, because I know a number of our players at school have got that particular phone. So it'd be great to be able to advise them.
And of course, we couldn't talk about technology without going to the other end of the scale. We've gone from the sort of the laptops to the phones. We couldn't talk about technology without talking about Pitch Vision, of course, which we talk about all the time. Anyone who's listened to this show for any length of time will know the benefits of using technology to track the way that the ball is bowled and the way that the ball is hit when you're batting. So we don't want to talk about it too much again because we're going over the same ground again, but suffice to say that if we're talking about technology, then we've got to talk about Pitch Vision itself and ball tracking technology and the way that all that information is stored and accessible, whatever device you're using.
Yeah, and it takes it to the next level, doesn't it? Because one of the great things about Pitch Vision is you can get up to three video angles running at the same time. And that can happen out of simple things like webcams, which are pretty inexpensive as well. So they're inexpensive additions to a really viable system that we've already put together. So that's good. We get the combination of both the statistic and the ball flight and the paces and the deviations, as well as getting the footage, and it's all captured within one ball, which is recallable at any stage. Whether you're there or whether you're remote, you can pick up your information. So it's a magnificent system, and I think we're beginning to see around the world a real understanding of how that can be incorporated into training programs of both elite players, but more importantly, probably for the emerging players that are coming through at the younger ages.
Okay, let's wrap up this section now with our yes no round. No bonus this week, but we still have our three questions. Garrus, I'll read them out, and if you're ready, we'll answer yes or no to them, no matter how much more we want to say. First question: punches are better than planning.
No.
Yes. Second question: It's time to give the bowlers a chance with ODI rules.
Yes.
No. Third question. Get on with it.
It's a big yes from me.
Well, I've got to say yes. Okay, now time for a little bit of interaction with our listeners. That's you who's listening to that show right now in your ears. And we do that via our mailbag, our questions section, where we have a couple of questions from the ones that are sent in every week. And we do our best to answer those questions. The best question of the week wins a prize, which is an online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can send in your questions to us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com or giving us a call, which I will give you the numbers for that at the end of the show. So keep listening. Now, the first question this week is from our old friend Bonga. He's back again, Garrus, and he's got another question.
Good to see Bonga.
Yes. Bonga says, hello, coach. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, I changed to pace bowling, which that's disappointing to me, but let's carry on anyway. Do fast bowlers need to be good sprinters? My 100 metres is 15 seconds and I'm 13 years old. Is this good for a 13-year-old fast bowler? And do you have any sprint drills to improve my bowling speed? So, Garrus, sprinting and fast bowling, where are we with this?
Well, I think it's advantageous to be athletic full stop, isn't it, when we're playing cricket and you know, athletics is based around running and jumping, so and throwing. So I think it is important that we have some physical competency that allows us to be able to sprint. There's a lot of research out there, and the mate of mine has done some fantastic stuff with the ECB, Kevin Shine, and one of his key points is that fast bowlers generally have good momentum going into their bound and into their delivery, because it's very difficult just to generate that from the bowling action. So, if you are a good sprinter, then you're going to create that momentum. The challenge for me is, you look at somebody like Michael Holding, and you look at somebody like Brett Lee, who were naturally very good runners and very good sprinters themselves. Graham Onions is another fantastic example of somebody who's a very good mover. And I think that's really important, that you can move efficiently. However, do you need to be able to run 11-second 100 metres? Possibly not. So to me, it's more about strength and stability than it is about being necessarily a good sprinter. So it's all about here, Bonga, is how much time do you spend developing your sprint, and how much time do you spend developing your bowling and your stability, which is going to have a massive effect on your fast bowling. So that's the big question for me, and I would go more towards stability, because you would find that in your stability and strength work, you'll probably pick up an extra tenth of a second or two in your sprint time anyway. So if we were training a sprinter, then they wouldn't do a massive amount of sprinting all the time. It's not as if Usain Bolt's running 20 miles a week of 100 metre races. You know, they're doing a lot of gym work, they're doing a lot of squats, they're doing a lot of lunges, they're doing a lot of plyometrics, they're doing a lot of specific stuff, which allows them to get A, more stable, more powerful, and therefore more quicker. So that would be my angle, rather than really concentrating on your sprint times.
Yeah, it's a handy metric to have, in that, you know, what your sprint time is a good general indicator of how much power you're able to produce in a short burst. So, you know, it's a handy indicator, but it's not something that any bowler should be focusing on. I think someone said to me once, I can't remember who it was, but you should be an athlete in the run-up and then a bowler when you get to your delivery stride, which is a nice way of looking at it. And it gets you to focus on that ability to generate power. Because if you can generate power via running, then there's a lot of a crossover to generating power in your bowling action. But it's not a direct crossover. So, you know, you still need to work on it. It's if you look at the extremes, if you run up with your arms and legs flailing all over the place and, you know, looking completely insane, and then you get to your delivery stride and you've got a perfect bowling action, you're not going to bowl that quick. Oh, you're not going to bowl as quick as you could. And then the other way around is if you've got an absolutely fantastic, smooth, efficient run-up and you get up and your action's all over the shop, then you're not going to bowl as quick as you can either. So it's a combination of both, where the action is more important, but you still need to have an efficient run-up to be able to do that. And so, yeah, spending some time working on your running technique is not a waste of time, as long as you're not taking yourself away from improving your action and developing your strength and your power in that way.
The other thing to consider, David, is that I wouldn't have a clue at all what any of my players' 100-meter time was. But I do know what their 20-meter sprint time is, and I do know what their 5-meter, running into 5 meters and out of 5 meters, their turn times are. But I wouldn't know what their 100 meters are, and we don't measure generally within our fitness assessments across the ICC, Cricket Australia, ECB. We don't measure 100 meters because it's not really relevant to our sport, particularly. True. Most boundaries are 70 meters or less. Bowlers generally run up off 15 to 20 yards. Most of our work is done within 5 meters or within 20 meters, which is why we concentrate on those. So I'd be really interested in Bonga's 20-meter sprint time and a general guide. I mean, the minimum standard for England cricketers is 3 seconds for that. So you won't be up for selection for an England cricket team unless you can go sub 3 seconds. And I can tell you now that all of them are quite a long way below that. But that was the original minimum benchmark that was put in.
That's more to do with acceleration and also the ability to stop and accelerate again than it is to do with flat out sprint speed then, isn't it? So then you're looking at the first few meters of a 100-meter sprint, but even that is slightly different because with 100, when you're talking about athletics, you're starting in starting blocks. So that's going to give you a mechanical advantage over somebody who is starting possibly even from a lying position. If you're talking about somebody trying to dive for a cricket ball and missing it and then having to get up and chase after it again.
Yeah, and we do those measurements. We'd never use starting blocks because it's not relevant to us. Mm. So we always do it from a standing start. We always measure from a lying start, a prone start, as we call it, because that is relevant to us. And particularly our 505, it's really interesting to do prone start into a 5 meter turn and come back 5 meters. That is a fantastic, you know, stop start thing, which is exactly what we do when we're in the field in particular. And I'll be talking about that today on this course. You know, how can we develop our ability to come out of a lying position into an upright position, and then can we incorporate a movement pattern which then turns again? Whilst we're not going to get that in any functional play, it's a fantastic training thing and it's fun and people enjoy doing it.
Yeah. So Bonga, hope that helps. Don't over-focus on it too much. If you're using sprinting as another sport, then great. Focus on your sprinting when you're focusing on your sprinting. If you, you know, want to be a sprinter, and you can use that 100-meter time as a good rough indicator of your ability to output power. But if you're talking about bowling, then spend more of your time focusing on being able to generate power in the bowling action than on running up. Next question is from Josh, and Josh has got a problem. He had an accident, and the good news is he's recovered from the accident, but he's lost something in the meantime. He feels he's lost technique and strength after his accident. He said, before the accident, I never felt any shock in my hands while batting. Instead, the ball used to fly off my bat, but now the bat shakes in my hand. Also, my bowling speed has reduced considerably. Before my accident, I used a heavy bat, but now it feels too heavy and I'm not able to pull or hook, so I'm using a lighter bat.
Well, I mean, this could be a million things, to be honest, and this is where a physio is a starting point for any interventions that I would do. So I'm assuming, Josh, that you had access to some medical staff, whether it be at your local accident emergency or whether it be through a physio, and to me they would be my first point of call as a coach. I'd be very interested in what they found and what actually happened, both during the injury itself and also in your rehabilitation, which it sounds like you've come through. And I'd be interested to have a cricket conversation, although they might not understand cricket, but talk to them functionally about what's happening. When you're now using your heavier bat and you can't control it and it spins in your bat, because they would have a really good understanding, A, of the injury and also about how the muscles knit or the ligaments knit or the or the tendons knit, which you know we can't ascertain from this question. So that would be the first thing I'd do. I would work with a medical staff to get to the bottom of what actually happened, because we'd probably find that there'd be a couple of clues about how we can either remedy it or put some strategies around yourself which allow you to be successful again and feel comfortable when you're batting. One of which you've gone to already, which is to use a lighter bat. And whilst you're doing that, it could be that your specific strength in your arm or in your hand will develop as a result of just batting again. Because, you know, it's a very specific thing. Everything that we do in cricket, whilst we can do some general rehab stuff, everything that we do in cricket is very specific. And that's why our bodies hurt so much when we come out of a winter period and start playing for the first time. Is because we haven't been able to do the longevity or to get the forces going up our body or have a bat in our hand for more than, about 15 minutes. We actually start to ache a bit. So that's probably what's happening. But I would always go back to the medical staff. And again, you know, I'm lucky. I work with two fantastic physios and two fantastic S&C coaches. And whilst I'm always on top of that situation, until somebody comes back and gets signed off by the physio fully, the physio will lead that process. So I'd be really keen on what your physio or what your medical staff person had to say, because they could probably unravel a couple of little secrets and a couple of little things that can then help us to answer this question more fully.
I think one of the key things to talk about there is patience. You're not going to pick up where you left off. No one could pick up where they left off. I recently, a few months ago, had a very, very minor operation. And it was during the off season for cricket anyway. I missed one match at the end of the season. That's all it was. But it took me almost 4 weeks to be able to even get back to the gym, let alone start training at the level that I was training before. And really, I'm only now getting back to previous levels in terms of my fitness in the gym that I was before. And so, you know, you're talking about a lot of weeks of time of building it back, slowly building it back up again and getting to the point where you're at before. And it's no different whether it's lifting weight in the gym or whether it's hitting cricket balls. You need to give yourself time and have the patience to say to yourself, okay, there's going to be a period here where it is going to be difficult and is going to be hard work and I'm not going to be where I was before. But as long as I keep working, as you said, Gareth, with the right people, doing the right kind of training, doing the right kind of practice, then I will get back to my previous levels and then I can get on with getting ahead of myself again. So I think, Josh, the important thing for me to say is that have patience, work with the right people, stay focused on your goal, and don't feel too disheartened if you feel like you are behind where you were before, because you're going to get back to where you were if you have the right focus. Okay, good luck, Josh. And let us head now to the Pitch Vision newsroom, where Daisy Cutter is waiting with this week's Pitch Vision headlines.
Thank you, guys. Hi, I'm Daisy Cutter, and this is the Pitch Vision news. A brand new facility is bringing cricket technology to the USA. CricMax in New Jersey is opening a state-of-the-art facility based around Pitch Vision's ball tracking. The centre will focus on developing grassroots cricket with high coaching standards that are unique to North America. CEO Arpit Shah says the centre has already received some commitments from the USA Cricket and a great deal of enthusiasm from the local community. Pitch Vision have been selected to provide all video and ball tracking analysis for the venue. Pitch Vision Interactive is helping redefine bowling with stats from real players all over the world. People used to talk about amazing bowlers at their clubs who were never offline. Pitch Vision is revealing this to be unlikely. Of all the bowlers to use the system, only one, Donny, has a perfect off-stump line. Hats off to the South African, but perfection has been shown to be harder than it seems. And, heading back to America, rumours are rife as to reason Bernice has missed the podcast this week. Unconfirmed reports have told of a man in a Pitch Vision t-shirt scaling the Statue of Liberty, shouting the British are coming and they're bringing ball-tracking technology. For more details on these stories, check out the show notes at pitchvision.com. That's the Pitch Vision news this week. I've been Daisy Cutter, and now it's back to the panel.
Thank you very much, Daisy. Daisy will be back next week with more news from the Pitch Vision world. I don't know how she finds out her information. One of these days I'll discover a bug in my lampshade or something like that. And now it's time for the soapbox. Mark Garraway has but 60 seconds to talk about a topic that is on his mind at the moment. No more, no less. Over to you for this week's soapbox.
Well, I'm going to talk about getting up early, David, today, because that's exactly what we've done to do this podcast, and I appreciate the efforts that you've made to do that for me. But there's a lot of stuff that can be done at the front end of a day that I think is missed out, not just in cricket, but in general life. And I was listening to a documentary about Dolly Parton, would you believe, the other day, and she said that sleep is overrated, and she wakes up in the morning and starts doing stuff. And you know, she's been successful over a huge amount of time, getting up early, writing songs at 5:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and making the most of her day. There's a guy called Robin Sharma who's written some fantastic books. One being the Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, which is a great read. And he talks about getting up early, and his time between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning is the most successful and productive time of the day. And we're doing that at school. We've got a lot of sessions in the morning. We're finding that they're producing more results than maybe the ones after lunch. So I just wonder whether we're taking advantage of our day, and I'd wholeheartedly encourage people to get up early, to get on with it, to use one of my phrases, and to see what they achieve from an earlier start.
And on that note, it's time for us to move on with the rest of our day. And that means it's the end of the podcast. But before we go, Mark Garraway, you've got a big decision to make. Because we have to decide who the winner is of this week's competition, which is the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And we had Bonga's question about fast bowling and sprinting. And we had Josh's question about coming back after an accident or an injury. Which one did you prefer this week?
Well, I thought Josh's question was really individual, and that they're the best questions. So it's come from a challenge that he has in his life presently, an aspiration to become back to where he was and maybe even go past where he was before. But he's having a challenge. And whilst we didn't give him any specific drills or anything, we gave him some fantastic advice. And hopefully Josh can now go away and start putting the building blocks in place with a medical staff. Giving him some advice and being patient, as you quite rightly said, David. So yeah, Josh wins it this week.
Congratulations, Josh. And if someone was listening to this show now, Gareth, and they were thinking to themselves, you know what, I would like my question answered, and also I would like to win that online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy, how the heck would I get in touch with the show? What would you say to that person?
Well, I'd encourage them to give us a call on 0203 239 7543 to start off with, or drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
Yes, and I would say, in addition to that, that you can get us through Twitter at PitchVisionAcad. Find us Twittering there, or if you're one of these Facebook users, these newfangled Facebook website that you've been hearing all about, then head over to facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy and you'll find us there posting videos and talking cricket. If you want to listen to the show every week, and why wouldn't you, then you can head over to iTunes. Do a search for Pitch Vision Academy and click on the subscribe link. That will automatically download the show to your iPad or your iPod or your iPhone or whatever other device you've got every week, every Friday. And if you don't use any device like that, you're perfectly entitled to, of course, I don't, I use Android myself, then you can go to pitchvision.com/academy, click on the podcast link, and the instructions for subscribing are in there. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week, but until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth.
Cheers, fella.